everyone got talent. They say that everybody got talent. My question is, does Vista got talent?
Yes.
Do we have talent, and what do we do with our talent? I find amazed that sometimes they say America got talent, and 90% of the time the people that are there are not from even for America. So I said, how they can be that? And we need to make sure that we understand what talent is and what we do with the talents that we have. So I put this, instead of the A, I put a symbol of this church right there. So God talent, does this church has the talent that the Lord has given? Now, the text that we're going to be using, it is mainly Matthew 25. But if you notice in Matthew 25, it starts with the virgins, you know, symbolize the church. There were some smart church and some very not so smart. And so that part they call God oil is because the whole thing is about the Holy Spirit. Then there is this part, the talents, God talent. And the last part is, do you get the works? So the chapter is divided in three gods. You got oil, you got talent, and you got the works. We're going to emphasize today on the middle part, the talents. Okay? That's what will be our topic for today. Jesus, his teachings concerning his second coming, all this is related to the second coming of Christ. Chapter 24 of Matthew and chapter 25. I did recommend you before, and I will do this again. Every single time that I have opportunity, I will do it again. Every good Seventh-day Adventist, every good Seventh-day Adventist who are anxious to be in the kingdom will read Matthew 24 at least once a quarter. If you haven't done yet, we are already in a second quarter of the year, so you should read twice at least. Matthew 24, read Matthew 24. It keeps you aware that why we are Seventh-day Adventist. We are not just any kind of Christian. We are very peculiar, a very unique group of Christians. We are, according to Scripture, the remnant. It's very important for us to be ready for this. So Matthew 24:25 talks about the second coming of Christ. What Jesus taught about his second coming just in that week, just before the crucifixion. That's what is covered in Matthew 24:25. 24, 1 and 2, it says, Jesus prophesied about the destruction of the temple. People were, at that time, worshiping the temple. They were no longer worshiping God. Everything was about the temple. And so Jesus Christ, remember when he said, you know, none of stone will stay here. This is all going to be destroyed. 24, verse 3, when will these things happen? We always, even though we don't spend a lot of time preoccupied with being ready, we at least like to know when it's going to happen. Sometimes we ask when so that I have more time not to do anything. Sometimes people say, oh, how much time do I have to left here so I can sit in front of my computer and play some video games and doing something else instead of the deadline? So when people ask how much time I have, sometimes they are not preoccupied with the time at all. What will be the signs of your coming and of the end of the age? The more people know, the more the people are supposed to be ready. But unfortunately, people sometimes use their knowledge in order to be negligent with time. In 24, verse 4 to 35, the coming destruction of Jerusalem. That was the answer to question number one. Josephus, which was a Jewish historian, he wrote about the Christians on the year 70 when the Romans came. The Romans came, they circled the city, and then they left without any explanation. They left. Do you know what? It takes a lot of, some of you here that have been serving the military, you know, to move a whole platoon or thousands of soldiers from one location to the other, it takes a lot of work. And for them in those days, they didn't have a Toyota trucks or Ford trucks. They care with animals and human beings who have to carry all that stuff. They came to circle the city, and out of nowhere, for no explanation, they left. Almost like an act of grace. At that time, all the Christians that were inside of Jerusalem remembered the words of Jesus Christ, and they left. And according to Josephus, there was not a single Christian inside of Jerusalem when the Romans came back. And they suffered. Many people died. There were people that eating even human flesh because of starvation. And the Romans got into the city, destroyed that temple. Now, the second part of there says clearly, but of that day and hour, no one knows. And that answers the second question. 25, three servants giving talents to manage. They were given the talent. By the way, every single person here, from the youngest to the most aged, okay, to every one of us here have talents. We don't have a talent. We have talents. One thing that we all have here is a talent called time. All of us here have time. Some of us have less time. Some of us have too much time. But everyone here has the talent called time. Plus, so everyone here has received more than one talent. And this is very vital. If you miss everything else on this story, this parable, don't miss this point. Everything was given according to their ability. God is a God of fairness. No one can say, oh, I can handle this. God gave you and gave you also according to your ability. The master goes on the journey far away. And what happened? Jesus left. He left for a far away. He went to heaven. And then the parable goes. The five, we call the five, and the two talent servants, they doubled there what they received. If you read this, the parable, it says, once that they received, they went on immediately. Do you know how many? I don't know how many. I'm not going to ask you to volunteer any. Don't raise your hand. But some of you may have money invested. I don't know. It's not a good idea. Some stocks, but you invest, you may have a savings account. You may have an IRA. You may have some kind of investment. You have to understand that sometimes if you sit in front of a computer and look at the numbers and you say, oh, should I invest in this company? Sometimes if you are too quick, you lose too much. And sometimes if you are too slow, you don't earn anything. You lose. So sometimes we have to be knowledgeable enough, but when the opportunity shows up, we go in. When we are not knowledgeable enough, and we have to get on the phone and call for somebody that you pay a lot of money for them to give their very expensive advice, by the time you invest, your interest that you receive is not even good enough to pay the person who gave you the device. So it is very difficult to. So here says they got and they went and invested immediately. So they were already prepared before they even got it. That's the point that I'd like to make. So they took time before the key moment. It says, but there was one person who receives one talent. Now remember, they all receive according to their ability. So no one could say, why do you give me so many? Why do I have to get five? It's going to be hard for me to deal with five. Or someone says, why do you give me only two? You gave him five. Why can't I have five also? Now both of them, they received and immediately they did precisely what their abilities. But this one received exactly the same thing. Remember, they receive according to their abilities. So all three receive exactly the same thing. Sometimes we are so concentrated on the number, we realize that the fairness of God's grace is that each one received what they were able to handle. But this one decided, you know what? I serve a terrible God. A God who punishes about this. If things don't go his way, he kills. He tortures people. He does this. And, oh, you know what? I'm so afraid of him that whatever is his, I don't want to touch it. So he went and made a hole. And you know what he was digging? His grave. That's symbolically what he was doing. Because when you bury your time, a time that God's given to you, you put underground, you put your life, you put everything else, all that he was digging in his own grave. And he dug a hole and he put the talent there. The two, the five and the two, when he talks about the talent, he says their talent. But when he talks about this one said, God, is your talent. I don't want to deal with it. I want to just bury because I'm so afraid of you. The other two went and invested. This one buried. But this one, it says, it was God's talent. His talent in the ground. Now, the master returns to settle the accounts. And by the way, the master will come. And by the way, we had such a wonderful lesson today, Brother James. God has blessed. It was a very good lesson about the return of Christ, the judgment. Christ is come here not to judge, but to give the result of the judgment. He says he's coming with a reward. So when he comes, everything's already settled. Those that will come go with him is already decided. So he says, the five and the two talent servants present their efforts and receive the reward. But what happened to the one servant with one talent? He returned his talent to the master. He said, here it is. I was so afraid of you that I decided to do nothing with this. And he speaks that his master says, I know that you are a harsh master. I know that you are a very difficult. I wonder how many of you, brothers and sisters, use the same excuse sometimes because you think that God is so severe, because you have a wrong idea about who Abba is. And there are so many people that are Christians because they are afraid of hell, not because they are in love with Abba. I'd like to say this again. There are a lot of people that go to church not because they really love God, but because they were afraid to go to hell. One of the most disturbing part of my ministry in my life in the past almost 40 years that I've been a pastor. One day I was in the church and we preach, and then there was a potluck or lunch. We were there to eat lunch, and one lady approached me. I was giving Bible studies in her home to her children. We were baptizing all their children. And she approached and says, Pastor, I have a question to ask you. I says, please. She said, is it true this person has have been in the church, I don't know, for 25 or 30 years? She should know the answer to that question. But she asked him, is it true there is no such thing as a hell that will be burning forever and ever and ever? And says, this is what the scripture tells us. And I told her what the scripture told us. For my shocking surprise, she said, oh, good. So I don't have to be afraid. I'm just going to be died quickly. She made a clear statement. Holy Spirit, you have no business in talk to me anymore. I have decided I like to be burned. Since I won't be burned forever, it's going to be quick. I don't mind. And I knew what she meant, because she was living a very unholy life. And she made a commitment that that was going to be her life or her death. Why the accusation? Why this individual accused God? Because it is always easy for us to give ourselves an excuse. When God walked into the garden and he looking for Adam. And when he said Adam, he meant male and female. Adam, where are you? Oh, they were hiding. Why? Because this woman, she did it. And then a woman says, oh, no, that animal there that you created, the serpent. And went all the blame. Have you noticed that a blame is a good way out for some people? At least they think it is. If I blame somebody else. And believe me, the loudest person in a room sometimes is the one who's trying to hide something. Noise is a very good way to hide. God takes only what belongs to him. And what does belong to him? According to scripture, what does belong to God? We say everything. But does everything belong to God? Not really. I'll tell you why. Everything that is good, everything that is eternal. God does not own any junk. So if you want to be a property of God, act like it. Or you don't belong to him. Because he cannot claim what is not pure with not he cannot take to heaven those that do not want to go to heaven. God is not going to force you to be his property unless you choose to be his. It is your choice. It is my choice. The critics always try to blame him, say, you are such so severe, God. I serve you because I fear you. And remember, some of our Bible versions are very powerful in the word fear. They use fear a lot. I like to advise you to look for a version where instead of have the word fear, they said respect God. Because respect has to be done out of love, not because of fear. You do not need to respect God out of fear, because God is not the monster that many people believe that he is. You have what is yours. Is this true statement? What about the time abilities that a servant has? He says, everything is yours. Not really, because everything that God has entrusted to us, it is our responsibility to take care of it. Was he capable of taking care of one talent? Oh, yes, he was. But he decided to have an excuse. I haven't noticed in our society today, I don't know if you noticed that as well. We have a lot of people that is not being productive. I don't know if you pay attention to in our society. We are developing a society where people spend more time about serving themselves than being productive to serve others. How many young people today spend hours and hours in front of a computer playing video games? And they shoot. And they shoot. And they shoot. And they keep shooting. Imagine what happens, the impact in the mind of a young boy or a young girl that he stays in front of a computer for 8 hours, make at least close to 1 million shooting. If you bother to count, ask one of those kids one day to start counting how many times per second, how many times they shoot something, because what keeps them tied to the computer is how fast everything is. And they keep shooting. And comes a time when you do 8 hours the same thing, then 16 hours, then 7 days, then 30 days, and so on. It becomes boring. Then you need some more adrenaline. Then you go to a school. You go to a park. You go to a mall. And try to get some excitement that the computer no longer gives to you. Do you know why it's getting so many shootings? Because people have too much time to do nothing. And they do so much nothing that nothing has value for them anymore. We live in a society now that nothing is the discussion in the interest of a lot of people. There are a lot of people doing nothing. And you know what happens to a country when everybody does nothing? We become nothing. Rather than take responsibility, he made excuses. He accused others. They have too much time. How many blame God because they don't take their own responsibility? If you are messed up in your life, sometimes people, I have seen people they drink, they smoke, they go, by the way, Seventh-day Adventists don't drink nor smoke, right? Convince me, please. Seventh-day Adventists, they don't drink, drink alcohol or bad. We don't drink coffee, right? Caffeine. So we're supposed to be a very clean people. If you stay every night until 2 a.m. doing something, whatever you do, and you sleep only 4 hours, 3 hours, you're doing the same damage to you that you are very quick to accuse others that are drink alcohol or something else. You're killing yourself the same way. Oh, the pastor, don't be so picky. What about that the temptation table during the lunchtime? You know, the sweets? It doesn't matter what kind of drug is killing you. The objective is the same, is killing. So please be careful. Be careful how you use this good talent that God gave you, time, life. Why did the master reply this way? Because, you know, the individual was acting like a fool. You wicked and lazy servant. Why wicked? Because every time you avoid responsibility and blame somebody else, that is evil. Did the servant act with honor? Definitely not. Did he steal? Yes. Every single time that God gives you time and you misuse that time, you're robbing somebody with opportunity to have a blessing. Do you know, Brother Denny, that the reason why God brought you to this church is to be a blessing to this church and for this church to be a blessing to you, for you to be a blessing to your wife, for your wife to be a blessing to you, for you to be a blessing in your community. And I'm not going to pick in you because you're a large guy. I can see you very well from here. So, yes. What I said to him applied to each one of us. Each one of us has the responsibility to the world around us. We are not here because of ourselves. You are not here in this church because of yourself. If you are here because of yourself and all you think is about self, poor you. Poor you. You have no idea what life is all about. Life is about everybody else. Let him who stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, work with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. When we invest our time, we have time to invest. When we don't invest our time, we run out of time and we have nothing. When the master will return, when he will return, he will give us according to our choices. Our abilities, we need to answer for them. God opposes laziness. What is laziness? What is being lazy? I'm gonna be very open, very frank, and if I hurt your feelings, too bad. I'm gonna say anyway. Okay? I'm not gonna apologize for it. A person who is lazy is a person who is stealing not only his own time, but he's stealing the time that he could be effective to everybody else. A person who is lazy is breaking all the commandments in that sense. You are stealing, you're robbing what belongs to somebody else. God put you in this life to be a meaningful individual for yourself, but especially for others. Even while we were with you, we gave you this commandment. Those unwilling to work, which in other words, I put in parentheses there, lazy, will not supposed to eat. Imagine we apply this rule in this life. There'll be a very hungry country. There are a lot of people right now that every time they need something, they ask the government to give them. But you see, the government does not have money. Everybody knows here this? Do you know that our government does not have money? He collects from you. So every lazy person is a burden to everybody else. Yeah, some people are not going to like to hear those things, but that's true. Yet we hear that some of you are living what kind of life? Lazy life. Refusing to work. Why? Because I need to play my video game. Oh, I have to student loans to pay. Oh, no, the government should pay for my student loans. They go to school and they cheat because they don't want to do the homework either. We are raising a bunch of lazy people. You know what happens to our future? It's in jeopardy. America is not going to be great too long if we keep raising this kind of lazy civilization. Oh, yes. Oh, no, there's a part here that is very important. They do not get busy doing something good, but they get busy doing something bad. Right? Isn't that true? It happens all the time. People that are not busy being busy, they get busy on somebody else's business. By the way, I've been a pastor for a while, and I have noticed that sometimes the loudest person in church are the ones who are willing to do less than everybody else. We need to understand this. The very busy people usually are the people who don't talk a lot. They are too busy to talk. And the ones that talk a lot is too busy to do nothing else but talk. So let me read this. We commend such people and urge them. I urge them in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to be calm down and do the work. Yes. Take a lesson from the ants, you lazy bones. Learn from their ways and be wise. Yes, we can learn from the ants. He who is lazy in his work is a brother to him who is a great destroyer. I chose this verse. Do you know why? Anybody here knows who is the great destroyer? Who is the great destroyer that the Bible talks about? Abaddon. A person who is lazy is a brother of the destroyer. Why? Because when you do not invest your time to build, is the reverse is happening. This is very, very, very powerful. Seven lessons. Get your phones. You can take a picture of this when I put all the seven there, because I believe you should have this. You should look into this. We are given talent or talents based on our ability. Faithfulness over little is required for more. The more you receive, the more will be expected from you. Do what you can with what you have. Don't look. We have a tendency to be in this part of the fence and always look at the other side of the fence. We don't take care of what is inside, and we covet what is the other side. Take care of what is yours in your hands, and believe me, your pastures will be greener than the other side. Do what you can with what you have. Fear keeps us from success. You don't invest because you're afraid to lose. You don't work because you're afraid that you're going to be fired. Imagine if you say, I'm not going to eat because I'm afraid they're going to give me stomach cake. You know what I mean. What you don't use, you lose. Faith without works is dead. Seven lessons from the parable of the talents that you must think seriously about. Now let me give you another group. God expectations. What talent has God entrusted to you? One, time. And then you can put add to that list. You know yourself. You know how many talents you have. What does he expect you to increase? Why do people have different abilities? Because we are not in this world because of ourselves. We are here so I can give whatever is unique for me to you, and you exchange. It's a business. You give me something, and I give you something, and that's part of how the world works. Everybody has a different ability, and everybody has different needs. So therefore, we all need each other in every sense of the word. How do we increase our ability? First of all, you cannot improve what you do not know what you have. If you enter in a room and you are asked to make an assessment of what you have, some of us have so many of this stuff that we don't even know that we have. So we go on shopping and we buy the same thing that we already have somewhere in our house. And if you clean your house, you're going to find, I did not know that I had this. You probably move from one house to the other and you put things in box, and probably you have been living in your house already for 20 years and the box have not been opened yet. So you don't even know what you have in those boxes. We have the problem, we have too many stuff. What about the person who was given one? Nobody was given one. This is just an illustration, because all of us have more than one. Every single human being have more than one talent. Why did he hide the one in the ground? Because he was not committed to do anything. He was lazy. And he wants to blame somebody else for his own laziness. And what was wrong with his attitude? Everything. That is the easy answer. I have more lists for you. Here's another list. Questions for self-evaluation. Ask yourself this question, please. How much interest do you put into each task you participate daily? What kind of personality do you have? Are you a person who has discipline? Because discipline keeps you from making mistakes. Discipline is one of the greatest gifts that a human mind can have. Some of us have more discipline, some people have less. Discipline affects what you eat. Discipline affects how you relate to others. Discipline affects how you relate to God. Discipline affects your marriage, your relationships, your business, every aspect of your life. The more discipline you have, the richer you are. The less discipline you have, the lazier you become. How could you improve your quality of life? Just by asking the question, that is an improvement itself. It's the beginning. You know, if you have to take 1,000 steps, the most important step, do you know which one is it? It's the first. Sometimes, I don't know how many of you, have you seen when you walk in a park, walk in places, you see a lot of pennies on the floor? Have you seen pennies on the floor before? Yes. I have seen people that they drop, they look as pennies, they don't even bother to pick it up. Don't go down because the value of the penny. Go down because you need exercise. And that penny will be even more valuable to you. You do this 100 times, then you don't need to see the doctor. You save yourself many more pennies. Why are you, what are the valuable accomplishments do you expect from yourself in this life? What kind of things do you, what are you doing with your time? What do you intend to accomplish? Ask yourself, I'm a Seventh-day Adventist. What have I done for the church? Ask yourself, I'm a Seventh-day Adventist. What I have done for the Lord that has given his life to save me? What am I doing? 7 expectations of a faithful servant. Take picture of this, please. Trust God and be positive. Would you repeat this with me? Trust God and be positive. What is the word positive means? Trust in other people's ability. Trust in your own ability. Be positive about it. I have seen people so many times, they have a cup of half full. And all that they talk about is how much is lacking. They don't plan to do what is there. Deal with what is inside. Don't deal with what is not there. We spend too much time criticizing. Oh, how many people were in church today? Oh, the church was not full. And by doing this, we eliminate all the people that came. We emphasize too much on the negative and not enough on the positive. Have you looked around? Look around and see the person that came and joined you today in church. Be grateful. Amen. That you are part of something that is worth living for. Amen. Look for the good in people. I say this to people all the time. Good eyes see good things. Bad eyes, even good stinks at their sight. Let me repeat. Good eyes always see good things. When you are around somebody that is constantly saying, oh, that's this was bad. Oh, this. Get out, get away from there. Because you are next in the list. They talk about Peter and so and John and everything else. Guess what? Your name is going to be there next. You're a strong candidate in the mouth of somebody who does have no respect for anybody else. If you stay around, you're next. Make your faith attractive to others. Stop preaching. Start living. Because if you live like Christ, you don't have to open your mouth and everybody will know who Christ is. The problem is that we talk too much and we don't live enough. The truth that we believe. Make your faith attractive. Don't hit people in the head with the gospel. Don't kill them with the gospel. They're supposed to live the gospel. Be a helping hand with what kind of... Do you know what I put the TWS there? That's Theos. That's God. Be a helping hand with God inside of you. Let what motivates you to be a helper is God in you. Be a helping hand. By the way, you see, I have seen this in the market. I've seen many places. Sometimes people are struggling with something. Immediately somebody comes in and let me help you. There are sometimes so many goodness outside of the church that we ask ourselves, why can we be the ones in leading on this aspect? Right? There's 3 more. Be considerate and willing to listen. I say to people all the time, God gave us 1 mouth and 2 ears. Duh. You should listen twice as much. But what happens is that our mouth is so big and we talk so much that we cannot hear ourselves. Listen. The one who listens, learn. The one who talks, only delivers what he has. If you want to double your ability to be great, listen. There is wisdom in a multitude of a device. Listen. And by the way, especially if you are married, listen, please, listen. Don't tolerate wrong, but address it with Christ-likeness, compassion. Don't compromise. Don't compromise. Don't speak like Rome just because you want to be accepted by everybody else. Seek success to glorify God, not yourself. If you obtain success and you turn towards you, that is a failure. Success is for to intend to serve others. When you make a vow to God, do not delay to fulfill it. He has no pleasure in fools. Fulfill your vow. How many of you here are God controlled, baptized, Seventh-day Adventist believer? You all made a vow, right? And your vow said clearly that you are in this forever. Don't betray your vows. Invest your talent in God's church. Work willingly at whatever you do, and as though you were working for the Lord and not just to people. And whatever you do, in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. And you all know this, right? Invest your talent, and this is what you should do. I can do all things through Christ. And I'll say through Christ, for Christ. And we are almost done here. Invest your talent. Invest your talent on what you can improve. Don't put water in a hole. Some people put all their blessings on something that is a waste. Don't flush your blessings in a toilet. Don't throw your talents on the trash. Invest it in something that can improve. Invest your talent only in what God approves. Only in what God approves. Only way for you to invest. By the way, when we invest money on them, I'm not advising anybody to do, but if you invest your money in stocks, it is your responsibility to know where your money is being invested. Because if you give to a broker, he may put your money in Budweiser, and you're not going to be very wiser after that one. You may be a butt, but not a wiser. They will invest your money in other things. The Church of Rome invests a lot of money on the war when Mussolini was attacking Spain. The church invests money in war. And there are a lot of people invest money. They don't know where their money is going. It is your responsibility if you're doing investment. So be wise where you put your money. Only what God approves. Listen to His voice, Jesus Christ's voice. He is calling us to renew our faith today and to dedicate our talents for His service. May the Lord bless us as we are committed to serve Him. Let's stand. And I would like to the young girls to come here and help us to sing. Faith is the victory. Now.